Let us now turn to the portion that we read from the Word of God in the Gospel according to John chapter 4. And we may turn again to read from verse number 28 to the end of verse 30. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Well, we were hearing yesterday evening from Mr. Rayner from the Gospel according to John, and the familiar words in verse number 1, Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And it was set before us last night how absolutely essential it is that we perceive by faith in Christ that sole object of saving faith. Believe also in me. As you are believing in God, so be believing in me. Well, we find here one who we trust by the grace of God and the work of the Spirit of God was persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ. We find that when the disciples came to the Savior, saying to him, Master, eat, he said to them at verse 32 of our chapter, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And as we see from the context, he was not speaking about meat for the body, but as it is explained there in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Well, we read earlier in the chapter that he must needs go through Samaria. And usually for the Jews, they did everything possible to avoid going through Samaria. But the Savior must needs go through Samaria, even if it were only for the sake of this woman. But as we shall see in this sermon, it was for others also a great blessing when Christ must needs indeed go through Samaria. Well, we have at length set before us in this portion of divine truth the dealings of Christ with a sinner. And it is an enduring lesson to us of the value of the soul, the preciousness of even one soul, to think that the Savior conversed with such a one. He did not despise her by any means. And so it is an enduring lesson to all the ministers of the gospel that even one soul is very precious. Even if the ministers of Christ can be useful and helpful under the Spirit's blessing to one soul, that is a great blessing because, as the Savior indicates, the soul is of great value. What shall it profit a man though he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So here is one, preciously one, we believe, to Christ, and one who he knew, as it were, from all eternity, and one who he turned to himself in a day of his power and grace. Well, we have much reason, friends, on this Monday of the communion season to render thanks unto God. This is a service of thanksgiving. We have reason to give thanks that the gospel has been preached. We have reason to give thanks that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper has been administered. That is a cause for great thankfulness. In the day in which we live, how long we will have liberty to preach the faithful word of the gospel, how long we will have liberty to meet here Who can tell? And we ought to treasure these times, and we ought to give thanks unto God for these blessings. But one thing that we have reason to give thanks to God, I believe, at this Monday of the communion for, is the witness of God's people. The witness of the people of God, and in particular, the witness that we had yesterday when his professing people took their place at the table. That was a witness. As the minister said in closing the service yesterday morning, making a point, very pertinent point and solemn point, we all make a profession, whether we go to the table or whether we don't. But here is a witness, you see, in a dark day, for which we ought to give thanks to God for. And what we wish to consider then with regard to the woman of Samaria is what we ourselves, especially, of course, those who came to the Lord's table, what we are to do and what we are to be about as we go from such a season of blessing as this. You see, we have a lesson here. When this woman had personal dealings with Christ of a beneficial sort and what blessings they were, do we not find that she desired at once to witness to others? And we see that the Lord graciously and wondrously blessed that witness. He blessed that witness. So that we find that they went out of the city, verse 30, and came unto him. There was a blessing. A blessing that followed on from the personal witness of the woman of Samaria. And so our subject, the Lord helping us here this evening, is that of the power of a personal witness for Christ. The power of a personal witness for Christ. And our text is found especially in verses 29 and 30 of chapter 4 in John. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. What a blessing. Oh, what a mighty blessing. What a great privilege to come to the place where Jesus was. Well, 2 points, as the Lord might help us here this evening, in connection with the subject of the power of a personal witness for Christ. Firstly, to note the force of her witness. Come, see a man, she says, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Our friends, here in this text of Scripture, in these words of this woman of Samaria, is a forceful witness. A forceful witness indeed. And we wish to consider that in the first place, the force of her witness. Then secondly, we will note the fruit of her witness. Then, verse 30, they went out of the city and came unto him. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The fruit of her witness. Well, we see here the first point, her forceful witness. The force of her witness for Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the Anointed One? That's what Christ means, the Anointed One. That brings before us the fact that he is the one who is separated and set apart by God the Father to that great work of redeeming the souls of his people. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the long-looked-for one? Is not this the seed of the woman sent to bruise the head of the serpent? Is not this the Christ? Now you see, what we have to say is, at once, this is undeniably a personal witness. It is her witness. It is her witness. Come see a man which told me which told me all things that ever I did. She does not, friends, rest in generalities. She does not rest in generalities. She does not say, come see a man, which tells people what they have done. It's not this the Christ. She has a personal witness. She has a personal witness. And very commonly, friends, and indeed when we think especially of the Church of Christ and of the people of God, how often it has been that personal witness of the Lord's people that has been so blessed and so persuasive to convict others or to persuade others of the truth of these things, with the Lord's blessing, no doubt. But here we see the importance of this personal witness. Now, why do we say it was a forceful witness? Well, we say it was a forceful witness because it was from her heart. It was, what we might say, sincere. It was sincere. A sincere witness. And of course, a sincere witness, generally speaking, surely is a persuasive witness. When a person's heart is in it, when a person is speaking the truth, when a person is speaking honestly. Well, we can say this woman, from the context that we read, is telling the truth. She is being sincere. When she comes to witness for Christ, she is not putting it on. She is not affecting things. She is not witnessing for Christ because she has been through a course of study in order to study how to do this. It is natural. It is sincere. It is honest. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Notice, friends, the connection with verse number 28. You see the sincerity there. The woman then left her water pot. The Holy Spirit has ensured that that small fact is set down in the Word of God. She left her water pot. Why? Because she had found the Christ. It's a small detail, but it is a detail that we must not overlook because it helps us to be assured of her sincerity. She left her water pot just as one would do when one met the Christ, when one was taken up with another subject altogether. You see, she had come for water, but she had found in the mercy and kindness of the Lord the Christ. Well, forget about the water pot, forget about the previous business. Now the great desire of her heart, her sincere heart, her honest heart, we trust her Christian heart, is to let others know. Let others know about this. Come see a man which showed me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Friends, we don't have any impression whatsoever that this woman was putting this on. This was affected. She only came and witnessed because she went through a course of study. You see, sometimes churches come up with ideas of courses, of study as to how we can witness for Christ. What can we do in order to do this? I mean, there may be a place for certain points and hints, as it were, and what may be helpful, but this is a sincere witness. Without affectation, it is sincere, it is from the heart, and we say, surely to the Lord's dear people in this day of thanksgiving, as we come away from a communion season, as we come away, as it were, from that communion with Christ, that close fellowship with Christ at his table, should this not be our desire? Should this not be our sincere endeavor? Should this not be the overflowing of our hearts? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In Psalm 116 we read, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. great minister of the gospel and theologian, John Calvin, in his commentary on John, observes with regard to saving faith. And this is the nature of faith, he writes, that when we have become partakers of eternal life, we wish to bring others to share with us. Nor is it possible that the knowledge of God shall lie buried and inactive in our hearts without being manifested before men. This is the nature of faith. And when we have become partakers of eternal life, he writes, we wish to bring others to share with us. Nor is it possible that the knowledge of God shall lie buried and inactive in our hearts without being manifested before men. And so there is that sincerity in this witness for Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now we see furthermore with regard to the forcefulness of this witness for the Savior, this personal witness for Christ, that it arose from a personal concern for others. A personal concern for others. She had found the Christ, or the Christ had found her, we might say. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You see, there was that concern. That concern for others, that was a deep concern. That was a sincere concern. That was a concern that was so pressing that it induced her to boldness. Boldness, you see, that we might say was perhaps very different to her character. How can we say that? Well, again, the little details of the Word of God can be helpful. For we find this woman of Samaria taking her water pot to the well, and we read in verse 6, it was about the sixth hour. It was about the sixth hour. Now, I understand that that was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was not the common time for women to go for water. What is she doing? Perhaps, we might say, she is one who is avoiding others. Perhaps she is one who is embarrassed about her lifestyle. Who can tell? But at any rate, what we can tell is this. Now, she is bold. Now, she is one who has a tremendous concern that others would come to this Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, you see, is this not a mark of the Lord's people? You can think about yourself, perhaps here this evening, days, perhaps even years of your life when you had no concern for your own soul, never mind the soul of anybody else. Didn't pray for yourself. You didn't certainly concern yourself with praying for other people in the congregation. But now you have to say, oh, I wish indeed that my wife or my son or my sister, oh, that they would come to Christ. Oh, that they would come to know this Christ who has dealt with me in a saving manner. Oh, that they would come to Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Yes. And more than that, you have a concern that these vacant seats would be filled, that the ministry of your own minister, Mr. Hutton, it would be to a full church here. That is your concern, that is your prayerful desire, and that is your concern for souls. You see, here is a very forceful witness then, one that arises from this sincere concern for others. Sincere concern for others. So that there is a great boldness. And we see that, an example of it, in Acts chapter 4, where we read there of Peter and John at verse 13 in chapter 4 of Acts. Now we read, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, friends, is this not marvelous? You see, they cannot be hid. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus when they saw their boldness. Now, friends, can we say that that was an unholy boldness, an inappropriate boldness? Not so. But in the case of Peter, he was one who on this occasion was filled, verse 8, with the Holy Ghost. And among other things that he said was this, the verse that precedes that we mentioned in verse 13, verse number 12, with regard to Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see there, that was when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Then there was that conviction. There was that definite conviction. And that brings us to the further point with regard to the forcefulness of this witness. It was the force of truth. It was the force of a mind here on the part of this woman of Samaria that was occupied with the truth. The precious truth of the gospel. Is not this the Christ? Now you see, surely that will make a most persuasive witness. Surely that will help us indeed when we witness to others for Christ, when we ourselves are persuaded of the force of truth, when we ourselves, friends, are well grounded in the truth. You see, that's one reason, among others, why it is so beneficial to us to sit under a settled gospel ministry, a teaching ministry such as you have here, that you might be equipped through the blessing of the ministry of the Word and the teaching of the Word, well grounded in the Scriptures, well grounded in the truth, that we may be able indeed to give an answer. Not just any answer that comes into our heads, but to give an answer according to the truth that will be forceful, that will be sincere, that will be a blessing to others with the Lord's blessing on it, so that we would have that, you see. Let us indeed be prayerfully then desiring that the ministry of the Word to our souls would equip us to be better witnesses on the side of truth, by being more firmly persuaded more and more of the security and the benefit and the blessing of truth. Is not this the Christ? She is not ashamed. She is not speaking wrongly at all, but she has the truth. Is not this the Christ? You see, is not this the Christ? Well then, is that not how we should be when we come away from a communion season, when we come away from the Word, when we come away from the sacrament? Should it not be the desire of our hearts to be witnessing for Christ to others? Should it not be the desire such as this, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did? Is not this the Christ? As one writer notes, has he done us the honor to make himself known to us? Let us do him the honor to make him known to others. Has he done us the honor to make himself known to us? Then let us do him the honor to make him known to others, as we surely will desire, just as Peter desired. Neither is there salvation in any other, none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Yes, we are not all called to preach the gospel, but There is a sense in which we all have a calling to witness for Christ, not just in our words, of course, but in our actions. You see, we believe, and we mentioned it earlier, she was a sincere witness. And if we be sincere witnesses for Christ, we will fear lest in our public profession of Christ we do anything or say anything to undermine that profession. Lest that takes from the truth. Lest that undermines our very witness. Is not this the Christ? You see, if we are saying, is not this the Christ, but our lifestyle is indicating that we are in bondage to lusts and to sins that are condemned in the Word of God most fearfully, then we are not persuasive witnesses. We are not persuasive. Is not this the Christ? That is what she is saying. And so here is the force of her witness, the force of sincerity on her part, the force of concern for others, the force of truth itself that she had. You see how we ought to witness for Christ with confidence of a gracious sort, precisely because we have the truth. Think of how zealous those are who come to knock at our doors at times. Opposite the Sydney Manse where I live is the so-called Kingdom Hall. And from that place they go out all round the area, knocking on the doors, seeking to bring others to their views, but they do not have the truth. When was the last time that a so-called Jehovah's Witness came to you, came to your door, and pointed to John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When did they last come and point to that precious truth in Matthew chapter 3? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, they come with obscure passages of the Word to try to wresting the Scriptures, of course, to their own destruction, to point out their errors, to try to give some credence to their errors, and at the same time overlooking all the precious gospel truths. And think, friends, what a vast store we have then. And if you should seek, of course, if we wish to give an answer to them that ask a reason for the hope that is in us, you say, Minister, how I am not a minister, I'm not an elder, I don't know how I can give an answer, I'm not a theologian. Well, one reason how we may be better equipped to give an answer is to memorize the Scripture, to memorize John 3:16, to memorize the simple gospel passages, to memorize things that will be pointed and be pointing sinners to Christ, the Son of God. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You see, there's a text. Can we not learn it? Have not the young children learned that text of Scripture? You see how helpful that would be when we come across those who are following the Roman Catholic tradition, religion. There they are. They are looking to Mary as a mediator. They're looking to the saints. Well, there's a text of Scripture. If it is in our minds, if it is memorized, then may it not be brought forth, and may not the Spirit be pleased to bless it. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so on, many other precious truths of Scripture. We are his witnesses. Ye are his witnesses. Do we feel a burden for the lost? Do we feel a burden for the ministry of the Word that we are benefiting from here, your own minister, that the seats would be filled? Then, you see, we all have a personal sphere of influence. You know, as a congregation, each one of you, people that your minister doesn't know. You are in workplaces. You meet people in situations where you might have an opportunity to witness on the side of truth and on the side of Christ. Like this woman, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now you see what she did. Here's an important point. She didn't go over the fields to some far-off, distant place to say, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Yes, there may be a place for that. Some are called to missionary work. But we all ought to begin at home, as it were. I think Spurgeon puts it very plainly when he says in one place that there are many who are giving away tracts who ought to be giving away a tract in their own home, as it were. We can take that, the point. Do we have a concern for perishing lost ones, foreign lands? Why not? Absolutely we should in prayer. But what about those that we know? What about those who know us? Should we not be thus minded? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, we see, secondly, for our encouragement here this evening, on the Thanksgiving night of the communion season, giving thanks for the personal witness of God's people on the past Sabbath, looking forward with hope and expectation to the personal witnessing of God's people into the future, here is the fruit. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now you see, it is so simple. It is put so simply. The Spirit of God is, as it were, focusing our minds. One verse we read of her witnessing in this sincere way. She's not a theologian. She does not know everything. But she has to say, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You see, how often it is with us that we say, what's the use? What's the point? The world is lying in the wicked one. With gross darkness, the people. Well, here are the Samaritans. Were they not in gross darkness? We see something of that coming out in the conversation of the woman herself. And yet she says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And what do we find? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. They left what they were doing there and then and they came. That's what they did. The Lord blessed this witness. The Lord blessed this personal witness for him. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are 4 months, yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And we say that to yourselves here as a congregation. Lift up your eyes, look in the fields. They are white, all ready to harvest. The Lord has sent you one of his servants to preach his word. You appreciate the ministry. You desire that others would be brought under that ministry. Then seek to witness for Christ, whom you know and love. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? You see, what a powerful, and no doubt eternity will reveal these things. How often it is. And we perhaps we can speak from our own experience. How persuasive the personal witness of God's dear people can be. I remember one occasion, distinctly, going to a house in the Isle of Lewis. There had been a very, very sad and sore bereavement. Teenage girl became ill and she could not be revived. She had epilepsy. A very sad death in the home of an elder. And I went to visit him, try to minister some comfort. You know that when I went into that room, before I could even reach him, He had reached me. Graciously upheld by the Lord. And that had an effect upon me. That had an effect upon me. To persuade me how the Lord is able to uphold his people in times of trial. That was a personal witness on the side of truth. By the grace of God. Powerful witness. Is not this the Christ that is saying? Well, is your life, is my life saying to other people, is not this the Christ? Is our life saying that to others? Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. That's what they did. They believed. They detected some sincerity. They detected some conviction. She would not have no for an answer in this case, as it were. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And he is here. He is over the hill here. He is not far from any one of us. Come and see him. You see, there's a witness. And we say, is that not the witness that should be our witness? You have a precious congregation here. Here you are, almost in the middle of Grafton. You all have the opportunity to witness to others. A faithful ministry of the word here. Many vacant seats. Perhaps we should be saying at times, come and hear the gospel. These things are important to me. That's why I come to church. Christ is precious to me. Will you not come and hear? What can people say? They say no. Oh, well, we go to the next person. As the Lord gives opportunity, no doubt. Is not this the Christ? Ought we not to be saying that? You see, what do we find there in Acts chapter 10, is it? In the book, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. We find there one by the name of Cornelius. And what do we find when Peter intimates that he is coming, and when there is that hope for blessing, verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. You see, he called them together. He was witnessing to them. He was calling them together. These things were important to him. And who can tell but they received a blessing from being called together at that time. Well, here is the fruit. You see, we tend to think, well, what's the fruit of the ministry? The fruit is, of course, and we don't deny it, when sinners come to Christ, when they have their sin forgiven, when they are blessed by the gospel. But here, and let's not despise it, here was fruit at once with the Lord's blessing. When she said, is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. There's fruit. There is fruit. And in the day that which we live, friends, it is fruitful indeed when one and two come and sit on these seats and listen to the gospel in this place. That's fruit. Yes, it may not end with salvation. We are not to be saying, well, that's enough that people would come here and hear the gospel. That's fruit. But let us not despise it. Let us not despise the day of small things. For we see later on how this fruit was developing. Wondrously blessed. And many, we read verse 39, of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. A wonderful blessing. So when the Samaritans that were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Listen to that. Here's one woman witnessing, and now we've got many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We have heard him ourselves. Where did it begin? in the providence of God, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Yes, this should be our life. We ought to be epistles seen and read of all men. Well, personal witness may be a great blessing indeed to the Church of Christ. Personal witness. Have you ever heard the saying, a little kindness goes a long way? A little kindness goes a long way. We thank God indeed that this congregation is a welcoming congregation. A little kindness goes a long way. No doubt you've heard the name John Boyana Radasi. John Boyana Radasi. Who's that, you say? Some of you may not have read about him or heard him. He was the first missionary of the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland to Zimbabwe, as it was then, southern Rhodesia. Well, where did he come from, we might say? Was he brought up in the Highlands? Was he brought up in Inverness or in Scotland? Certainly not. He was an African man of the Fingo tribe. And how did he possibly come into the FP church? How did he come into this church? Well, he was standing with his friend on a street corner in Edinburgh, looking pretty miserable. That's where he was. Someone associated with our church was looking out the window and seeing these two black African men looking pretty miserable in the rain in Edinburgh. And they went down because they had some associations with Africa, some interest in these things. They went down, they asked him up, come up for a meal. And they found out this man was a converted man. And they said and sent a telegram to Reverend Neil Cameron, I have found your missionary. I found your missionary. Mr. Cameron said, send him up. Send him up. And let's see who he is. And he was put through a course of training and sent out. And that mission is still in operation. That's a mission of our church. That's how it began. Little kindness goes a long way. Personal witness, giving a man a meal. And who can tell what souls have been saved? There are probably more Free Presbyterians in Zimbabwe than anywhere else. See how the Lord can bless these things. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Who can tell? Those that we might invite to come to this place of worship. Come and meet my minister. If you won't come to the services, you say, I don't worship God, no interest in these things. Well, would you like my minister to come round and see you? Or one of the elders? You're having some problems. Yes, I wouldn't mind that. Maybe he'll say a prayer for me. Who can tell where that might end? The power of a personal witness for Christ. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. What a blessing. What a blessing that was for their souls, friends. And some of them we trust to all eternity. Marvelous blessing. And here it was, the personal witness of this sincere, simple witness for the Savior. Sincere witness for the Savior. Yes, and we have a word for the little children here, the young ones. You can be witnesses too. Yes. Born again, if you be born again, brought to Christ. Yes, you can be a witness. There's a little girl once, her uncle was a real hard case. Real dead against the gospel. Wouldn't have any of it. And ministers would come, and elders would come, and people would come, and relatives would come. This poor man is dying and is in a wretched condition. And they tried to speak the gospel. He didn't have anything of it. No word of it. But then a change came on. And people were astonished. What about the ministers? What about the elders? What about the women who were coming with texts of scripture? Did that not persuade you? Oh, no, none of that. And he said, let's call her Anna. It was little Anna. That's what moved me It was little Anna, my little niece. It was her Christian witness. I couldn't but be persuaded. It was blessed to me. You see, we can be a witness. And we ought to be. If Christ is precious to us, we will be sincere witnesses. And if Christ is precious to us, then we will desire that he would be precious to other people. And that others would come to him. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Well, we thank God indeed here as a congregation. In conclusion this evening, we thank God indeed for the witness of the congregation here, the witness of God's dear people, who took their place at the table. I was thinking only today, such a wonderful thing yesterday. And if I'm right, and correct me if I'm wrong, to see three generations seated at the Lord's table. Three generations. Well, you don't get that in many congregations. Those who were brought in with the wheelchairs, 80s and 90s, right down to those who are in their teens or perhaps not even in their teens. Wonderful. What a beautiful picture of heaven. Beautiful picture of heaven. Well, we might ask ourselves, you see, that was their witness for Christ, but was that my witness? Perhaps, you see, we have to conclude, that should have been my witness. Oh, that was my witness. But alas, it was not. I did not find strength to come to the Kirk session. I did not find strength to witness for Christ. Woe is me. My days are gone. My hope is gone. Well, friend, be encouraged by this woman. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him and seek to be a witness for Christ and then seek to come to his table. Just in conclusion, one thinks, and I do remember one case that might be helpful. There was a man, and his minister could not figure out why he was not professing Christ. His life was blameless, like a Christian. Why was it that he would not profess the Savior? At length he found out that this man was not keeping family worship. He was not praying before his own wife. And he was encouraged, you see, by the minister to begin that duty and that responsibility, and not long after, he professed the Lord. You see, we need to be those then who are professing in our own little circle, unashamed of Christ, and then, you see, the Lord may well give us strength to profess in his own church. May he give us strength and enable to continue also in that witness on his side. Well, we have considered this subject, the power of a personal witness for Christ, noting the force of her witness and the fruit, the wonderful fruit of her witness. And know indeed, we have heard him for ourselves, and know indeed, the Christ. This is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And you know, friends, just in closing, they told her that. They told her that. Just think of that. What a blessing. They told her that. We've heard them for ourselves. What a blessing it would be in this congregation if there would be those who would say, yes, you invited me to come to this place, but I have heard the minister for myself, I've heard the gospel for myself, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, what a blessing that would be, and how much to the glory of God. Of God. May he bless his word to us. Let us now pray. Ever blessed and most high God, give us grace and strength to witness on thy side. How unwise we are. We speak when we should not speak. We fail to speak when we should speak. Give us wisdom. Give us love to Christ that might overflow indeed to love to sinners, desiring there in gathering. Bless us and do us good. Bless the witness of thy people here. Strengthen and uphold thy servant. And thou bless the minister of thy word in this place, the conviction and conversion of sinners, and the building up of thy people in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Dismiss us with thy blessing and forgive us for our sins and holy things and all things for Christ's sake. Amen.